pamphlet from Breslov. What does it say? Pamphlet? It says what it says over here. Okay, so this is like right out of Breslov. Let's read through very quickly. The words Vigam al Shikva Zera, page Kuf Samach Aleph. Page Kuf Samach Aleph. We're in the second paragraph, Vigam. Al shichva zera sha'adam maitsi ba'avera rachmanel nitzlan of a person is maitsi shichva zlevatala kisheshav. When a person wants to do teshuva for this avera, yeshla l'choyrosh yeshla b'kerech b'mayim l'fi, what is the teshuva? He's writing over here this very interesting idea we discussed in the last 2 days, which is not common today, is that a person should bring upon himself self-affliction. To do what? To sit in kerach u'vamayim, ice and water, to bring pain upon himself. Lefi she'amru kol oichez bo'amo, he quotes the Chazal, anyone that touches the place of the erva, u'mashtin, ki'ilu mevi mabul le'olam. Okay, so this is something which I don't have no idea what the halakhic parameters are today. It doesn't seem like we're nizer in this. But when a person goes to the Beis HaKisei, there are certain guidelines he should adhere to, not to touch the Mekoyim Erva, because of the obvious reasons. Maybe Mabol Lo'olam, or Shemesim Yodei Al Taburoi, a person puts his hand on the Taburoi, that is Lamata, that means the in the back, the pack, the rectum. Ki'ilu Shoyfech Damim. No, I don't think it means it over here. I don't think here it means the navel. What? That's what it normally means. But over here, it's borrowing the expression. Because what do you mean the navel? Over here, I think what he means, even though you are correct, the word tabura means the navel, I don't believe that's what he's referring to over here. He's borrowing the word navel as an expression to refer to the rectum. Am I wrong? Maybe. I don't know. Shenesim yadoi al Taburoi lamata. The word lamata is what is that's the key word here, lamata, because the taburoi lamala is not there's a tabur lamala and a tabur lamata. I think that's what he means.
Lower than the navel.
What? Below. Okay, the tabur lamala is the navel. This what's so big about touching the navel? What's the big deal? It's the taburoi lamata. It's what we call the rectum. Ki'ilu shayfech damim. Why? Because somehow a person is trying to stimulate himself in these ways. Ki'ilu shayfech damim shay dar hamabul chatu b'shichva zera. This was what they did. Lekach therefore nidoyno b'roischin. So he's saying over here, that's why they were punished with boiling hot water. Because shichva zera comes when the body is in a state of heat. Do not say that since they let us say, maybe one will argue that a person that does that sin will still be punished. In other words, you'll say over here is, listen, if Dor HaMabul, if you're telling us that the Dor HaMabul, the chet that they did, one of the terrible sins they did was they were moitzi shichva zera levatola. In other words, I guess what it means is they made out of it a shita. And it's a good thing to do. A person should engage in this activity. It's a proper thing to do. It's a shita. It can be done. That they invented this principle. And therefore they were punished by drowning in boiling hot water. So if you come to the logical conclusion of a person, Rachmana Litzlan is nichshol in this avera, so what should he do? He should kill himself. He should drown himself in boiling hot water, just like Hashem did to the Dor HaMabul. So the Sefer Chasidim says, no, I never said that. Don't ever go so far in doing teshuva by killing yourself. Just because I promote bringing upon yourself suffering, not to the degree of where it takes your life. One more time, the words. The ein loimar, don't say, kevon sin shebereitzchen kilkulu, they committed a sin with a state of heat. Uvereitzchen nidoinu, and the punishment was they died by being burnt in boiling hot water. Im kain, the conclusion would be, Hashav me oise avayin kein ye oseloi. A person that wants to do teshuv for this avera should kill himself. And that's how he's going to save his neshama from Gehenim. No, 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 no. That's not the way it goes. Don't kill yourself. Shekevan sin shemei atzmai nesim alei v'shol teshuvah. Since you're better than them. The people of the Dor HaMabul, they did not come to the rabbi to ask a question what to do. In fact, they told the rabbi, this is what we're supposed to do. They didn't come ask questions. So since they did not ask questions, Hashem had to take action. Hashem punished them by bringing about their death through boiling hot water. But you who are coming to ask a question what to do, it's ridiculous to tell a person they should commit suicide. Uchsivit says in the Pasuk, Dir shuni vichyu, seek me out and live. Don't seek me out and do foolish things and bring about your own death. Eliyesha b'mayim karim. Instead, the solution is a person should sit in cold water. V'gam lo yelech bitulim shemidiyim lachatay b'nash. Now he's going over here on a whole tangent, which Rabbi said you're not going to want to hear these words. Okay, and obviously let's not go to any extreme. Okay, let's not get carried away over here. Don't go on a tour where you engage with women. A person knows that he is weak, and he, when he socializes, it gets a little bit out of hand. So those type of people have to be careful. Next, a person sins privately. No one knows. The only ones who know they did the avera is him and her. An incredible insight. This is something which is very, very interesting. It says that if he realized that he did an avera, he was nichshol with her, and now he's doing teshuva, he should privately let her know that he is doing teshuva for this avera. Isn't that very interesting? If you go to a rabbi today and you would say, I did this type of avera, so they would say, just stay away from her, stay away, don't ever text her, call her, just complete severance, and do teshuva. Interesting, he writes over here, Yesh lo b'chach malasa she'os isha teda, she should know, she'ose teshuva, but v'loy acherim, you have to use chachma to make it known only to her, not to no one else. V'lo, now it goes without saying, v'lo yidabri ma'oid, if the tzibur knows that he did the avera, so he should inform the tzibur that he's doing teshuva. Let's say the rabbi knows that he did an avera, but they do not know with whom he did the avera. Al yodia shemo isha, never reveal the name of the woman. V'imchata im shifcha shemeres esatora ve'ein la busha. If she is nichshol with a shifcha, which is a guardian, then she has no busha. He ne'amar b'koyres tihyeh. And an investigation shall be made. Bikaris means an investigation. He loikav uhu ein loikav. Okay, this is something which we don't relate to. Let's say there's a shifcha kinanis. A shifcha kinanis. What? It seems there could have been. I don't know the details. There was slavery back in the day. Okay, there was slavery in America not that long ago. So you can be certain that in other parts of the world there was slavery. Okay, I don't know, I really don't know what he means of it, but let's say you have a situation where the woman that he was nichshol with was a slave, and there's no busha for her in it being known that she did the avera, and she did an avera, she was not allowed to do this either, then an investigation should be made as to who was the woman with this man was nichshol, and let it be public knowledge what she did, and she should be punished. And that way she will serve as an example. But v'hu, he gets lucky. Okay, discrimination. V'hu, ain't a loike. He does not get malchus because he's doing shuva l'fi because shekvar omar be'eved ivri rabbi moisla shifrosh kananis because it's permitted in certain situations. L'fich, therefore, echad shabal shifra kananis ain't a loike. Since there is a hechatimsa where a Jewish man is allowed to live with a shifra kananis, for example, a person who's an eved ivri is allowed to be given a shifra kananis in marriage. So therefore, since there is a hechatimsa where it is permitted, so here, even though in this particular situation he's not an eved ivri and it's not permitted, the very least, he's not going to get malchus. We have another example.
He does get malchus.
she does get malchus, right? Because she was not allowed to, because she's a different standard.
Not
likewise,
with her forever?
No, no, not a goya, not no, impossible, impossible. A goya, shivcha, no, and not forever. V'chein yifas toyar. We have also another example in the Torah, is permits a man to marry a non-Jewish woman. Yifas toyar. Hidra kasef kishalocha. What if he took of arei biyadoi ve'ena kishalocha? When he takes of arei biyadoi ve'ena leike. Over here he's saying a very interesting idea is that since there are situations in the Torah where it's mutar lechatchila for a Jewish man to live with a woman that's not Jewish, for example, Yifas Toyar, and a Shifcha Kenanis in a situation where he is an Eved Ivri, therefore there cannot be a disparity that in this instance, he's going to get malchus. You always have this principle in when you learn a daf gemara. You never want to make a machlokes tanoim extremes. If you have an option of limiting a machlokes, either tanoim amaroyim, where they don't disagree from one extreme to the other, but the point of disagreement is very close to each other, we'll always prefer to limit a disagreement between two different opinions, rather than separate them mikotza elakotza, unless we have no choice. Likewise, we don't want there to be in halacha a situation where a man lives with a non-Jew. In this instance, it's permitted lichatchila, and in this instance, he gets malchus. He's punished severely. Therefore, Chazal said, since it's a given that there are situations where it's permitted lichatchila, even in the situations where it is forbidden, we're not going to go so far to give him malchus midrabanan. We're going to punish him, but not to that degree of malchus. There'll be whatever the situation he has to do teshuva and whatever Chazal will decide. Obviously, these things are not nogei halacha l'maaseh b'zman hazeh in regard to punishments. There is no bezdin. We don't have shivcha kananis. We don't have yifas toyar b'zman hazeh, and these things are not acceptable. So we're just over here learning about things that are not the problems exist, but the type of punishment that goes without saying are not relevant for our times. Kuf samaches alt ari bottom bonus b'pen yachtiu. Separate boys and girls. Boys and girls should not mingle together. They might come to sin. Oz tismach, says in the pasuk. Oz tismach bisula bimachol levadam. It says that the girls would dance among themselves. Avol bachurim uzakenim yachta. But the boys and girls, the boys and the old men would dance separately. So it's a pasuk. It's a very powerful pasuk. It says in the pasuk that girls would dance alone and bachurim and zakenim yachta. There was no mixed dancing in the time of Yirmiyah. When boys will get married, though, it says that on Tu B'Av, the boys would go out to the vineyard, and the girls would dance, and the boys would stand and watch the girls dance, and would select a girl. So they would watch the girls dance, but they would not actually dance with them. That's what it says. Okay, al bachurim uzkem yachta v'chein yiladim v'iladois misachim b'rechayvoseha. It says over here, boys and girls, they play in the streets. Yiladim levad, viladois levad. V'chein misayf tehillim, bachurim v'gam besulois, v'loy amar bachurim im besulois. K'moy zikeinim im ne'orim. V'gam l'rabois noshim levad. The fact that it says over here the word gam, and it says the terminology used in the psukim, the way he interprets the psukim indicates that separation. They're not, boys and girls are not allowed to dance together. Obviously, what are the ages? Everything is an old subject to discussion. What are the ages? At what point, like a nurse, you never saw a nursery with its separate gender. You ever hear such a thing? I'm probably the chassin, they have such a thing. Who knows if they do or they don't? By the litvish olam, when do they begin to separate? I think like when they, like 6, 7 years old, right? 6, 7, the time when they begin to have an appreciation. Okay, it depends. Obviously, like I read it in the Steinman's biography. So they have a very beautiful story that the stipler who married who? Rav Chaim Kinievsky's son. Rav Chaim Kinievsky's son is married to Rav Steinman Zecher Tzadik Levracha, to his daughter. Correct? I believe that is correct. Rav Chaim Kinievsky Shlita And Bodel Michaim L'chaim Rav Steinman are Mechutonim. Rav Steinman's son is married to Rav Chaim Kanevsky's son is married to Rav Steinman's daughter. So when they got engaged, Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, I knew about this shidduch when you already, he said the age, how old they were, when you were already probably 5-6 years old. How do I know this was a shidduch? How do I know? I remember it was Yom Kippur, and you were about 5 years old. And I took with me to Davin in the Letterman Shul on Yom Kippur. I think it was Letterman Shul. I took with you, you were 5 years old. And you couldn't sit still in shul. So you went out to play. You went out to play outside in the street on Yom Kippur. So every once in a while, I got a little nervous. What are you doing? Where are you? So I went out of the shul to see, and I saw you fighting and hitting, and she was hitting Rav Steinman's daughter. She was about 4 years old, or a year younger than you. And she was hitting you back. I went outside. You were 5 years old. She was 4 years old. And you were fighting and beating each other.
Book?
Yeah, it's in the book. It's in the book. And you were beating each other up. You were clobbering each other. I went out. That's what I saw on Yom Kippur. And as soon as I saw that, I says, ah, this is going to be one day a good shidduch.
He's a connector.
It's in the book. It's in the book. No, they have now, he's now a celebrity. So Chaim Kanievsky's son is here collecting money. They made a big campaign for him. He's a Rosh Shiva, and the yeshiva that's on the verge of collapse. A yeshiva that was sponsored, that was founded by the Chazon Ish.
Is that the one that you're talking
about? Yeah. That's the son, yeah.
Shlomo.
Right, so he's married to Rav Steinman's daughter. So that's the one we're talking about. So he's in the news a lot now. Everyone likes him. He has a very good personality. He's a very, very, very popular person. He's a very good, very tremendous Talmud Chacham, like none other.
Poskim too?
They're not Poskim. I don't think he's a Poskim. No, I wouldn't say that. Not that I know of. Chaim Kanievsky is not a Poskim. Chaim Kanievsky is not a Poskim. Never. You never heard such a thing. He's a Talmud Chacham second to none. Poskim is a different profession. A different profession. He's the Urim V'Tumim. Chaim Kanievsky is called in the Yeshiva world the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim. He's like you know the connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's of Chaim Kanievsky, whatever. And so his son, isn't it a nice story? They were clobbering each other on Yom. What day better than to beat up each other and to fight than Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur. I think it says how old exactly they were in the story. I think it says something like 5 and 4. Maybe he says 6 and 5, and they were fighting, and he came out, and right away he says, ah, it's a good shidduch. It's a good shidduch. The kachava. So at what age is there separation? I really do not know. I always found when I went to Eretz Yisrael, I went to Eretz Yisrael much later in life for the first time, and I went there, one of the first things I was very surprised when I went to Eretz Yisrael is I really felt that we're much firmer in America than in Eretz Yisrael. Go to a wedding in America, there's separate seating. Right? In America, a wedding, the men sit on one side, on the right, and the women on the left. Separate seating. In Eretz Yisrael, now it's already became more American, I believe. But years ago, there's no seating by a wedding, by a chuppah. No seating. You stand. And you stand mixed. I went to a very yeshivish wedding, a very right-wing wedding, and the men, basically, the men and the women were mingling with each other. They were mamish taruvis. I said to myself, in America, this would never happen. They're too from in America to allow this to happen. Just the opposite. It just goes to show that because we're not so from in America, that's why we need this there. It's like no big deal. I remember going there. I didn't get in. I was in Bnei Barak. I don't know why I was there. I was there, and I saw we passed the house of Chaim Kanievsky. And the people were lined up to go into Chaim Kanievsky and to go into his wife, to Rebbetzin Batsheva Kamenetsky, Kanievsky, Aleha Hashalei. And the lines, first of all, two things struck me. Number one, the lines for her were a lot longer than the lines for him. Okay, that was the first thing that struck me. And number two, the men were mingling with the women on that line. Like the women were lining up to get, and there wasn't a lot of room in that area, and there were men hanging around, and they were mamish like body on body. And not all the women were dressed so tzniustik either, you know? It wasn't like, you know, they were wearing burkas. Right away struck me, see, in Eretz Yisrael, they're not so frum.
The husband was going to slime
and the wife was on the other
what?
The husband was going to slime and the wife was on the other wife, so what's the problem?
No, it wasn't the husband and wife. It wasn't husband and wife. It was a stomp people. So it was so mingling, boys and girls playing with each other. I went to pick up my nephew and niece. They were in a gan. They were pretty big. Charedim, boys and girls together. Boys and girls together. It wasn't like, in America. Oh, boys and girls together. Everywhere. Oh, what's your problem? You got a problem? In Eretz Yisrael, they were much more practical, and it's not because they're less religious. Adar Abba. Right away, you figure it out. It's because they're more religious, and they take life much more seriously, and it's they're real. They're real, and if it's not necessary, it's not necessary. It's not. No, it's not a matter of money. It's just. It's part of it. Maybe it's part of it. It changes the mindset. It's not everything is in America. We're looking for trouble in certain circles. All right, whatever it is, he talks about this issue, and obviously this is a very controversial issue, and you all know better than me. It's all become a big litsanis. Do you put the picture of a woman in a newspaper? Do you not put a picture of a woman in a newspaper? It's all a big, you know, it turns into a very big joke. I had it this week. I'm right now, Baruch Hashem, involved in a project. I'm not getting paid for it, of course. But I have to do a lot of work on a project that's very, very important. And there's a lot of things are going on, and then right away the big issue came up is pictures. And I right away said, I want to put pictures of women. I want to put the picture of this one, the picture of that one. I want to put the pictures, including women. And just, you know, to cross the T's and dot the I's, make sure I don't get into trouble. So I made 2 phone calls. And both phone calls, the person said to me, don't you dare. Don't you dare. And I was surprised with the seriousness.
Paisik
or? No, not a paisik. I'll be halach, it's mutter.
Right.
It was a matter of personal preference. No halacha, no chas v'shalom halacha. Personal preference. With a starkeit that got me so scared, I'm not gonna play any games. I'm not gonna try to slug them up. You don't want. It's not worth it to me. So obviously these issues are they're very emotional, sensitive issues, and to each his own, and you know you have to have respect for what.
Making a little late sonus over it, how far people go, mentions one das yochid that says when a woman donates something and they want her name on the parochas, you can't even put the woman's name on the parochas.
To put a woman's name on a parochas.
Right. And on the Torah, a mental, you can't put a woman's name. God,
okay.
You should see her name and think about it.
You'll think about her. I understand. Even someone like me, who's not from the extremists, I can understand.
If
you take out the Sefer Torah and you see the name of this woman, when you see something, how does the mind work? You see something, you think about her. So let me ask you, would you allow this woman to come and sit in the men's section during davening? You wouldn't. Number one, halachically it's osur.
Right.
Halachically. But let's say, not even halacha. Let's say we're not davening now. Now the rabbi is giving a drasha. Or the rabbi is giving a drasha, let all the women come into the shul and sit together mixed. There's nothing halachically wrong when we're not davening, letting the women sit in the shul together with the men. Would you do it? No. It's not the right time and place. I don't think people have such a hard time understanding that. So why is it so hard, even for someone like me, to understand that if you have a mantle, and on the mantle it says very, in an oifan that's mechubit, in a very distinct way, the name of this woman, Isha HaChashuva, and you write her name, so right away, you're bringing her into the shul. You're thinking about her. The mind, the imagination, more often than not, is even stronger than reality. It's not so hard to understand. Now, that's not the minhag. Most people, as far as I know, I really didn't pay attention, But I can't imagine that there's so people, even the Haredim in this community, are so makbid not to put the name of Uvon Sefer Torah. You tell me a minute, you tell me, by Hasidim. Right, I understand. I cannot imagine in our community a rabbi would object to this. Maybe I'm wrong. I cannot imagine a rabbi would object to putting the name of a woman on a Sefer Torah, on the mantle of the Zecha Nishmas, my parents, my mother, my father. It's hard for me to imagine a Rav in this community would say you can't do it. But if you will show me a rabbi that says do not do it, or other communities where it's not done, I get it. I fully get it. And believe me, I'm not from the extremists. I get it. I understand the imagination is a very powerful thing. You have a name of a woman. Even if the woman is not a glamorous woman, okay? You don't remember, but the fact is, would you bring a woman into the shul to sit in shul with you together during davening? You would not do so. Because that's not the way we are. Orthodox Jews, when you daven, you don't sit. When you go to lunch, so you can sit and shmooze with her. During davening, you don't sit with women. That's the way halacha is. So when you're taking out the Sefer Torah, you come to the Bima, and it says her name on it very prominently, I get it. I get it. I have respect for those people who have made this decision that it should not be done. Do we do it? I can't imagine a rabbi would be so machmer, but there's something to it. Yeah.
There's a beautiful colored picture of advertising an apartment near Chisrael in two different magazines. I would say one of them shows a father and a young boy and a little girl, 3-year-old girl there. And the other magazine has the same exact picture.
Photoshopped. They photoshopped the girl out.
Yeah.
All right. The problem with that is, there's one thing, I fully get it. If you don't want to put a picture of a woman, I got it. I respect it. Loy plug, even a 3-year-old, because it's a slippery slope. I get it. I really, really appreciate it. The only thing, no, I really do. I find, maybe you don't. Okay, I can only speak for myself. I can only, no.
It's absurd.
In the street, on in a publication. Listen, you're right. I'm not arguing with you. I respect what you say. I understand those. But when you're working on projects, when you work with people, I'm just telling you my personal feeling. If you want, there has to be rules. There has to be guidelines. When you don't have rules and guidelines, it becomes a major hefkeris and it turns into chaos. You have a policy. You stick to the policy. Whether you like it or not, it's a safe approach. I understand what you're saying. I understand. I fully respect your opinion as well. But this again. Now, the only thing that really bothers me very, very much is what you just described. And that is to Photoshop pictures. If the picture has a woman in the picture. So the rule is, if your policy is not to include women, if that's the policy, for whatever the reason is, if that's what the Rabbanim want, I have respect for the Rabbanim. Rabbanim, mipiem onu choyim, I have respect for Das Torah, fine. No women. But it's, in my eyes, it's unethical, it's just dead wrong to take a picture and to take a woman out of the picture and present the picture Photoshopped. That's a lie. That's not the picture. That's sheker. And it's unfortunately, it's done more often than you think. If your policy is no women, so it's if the picture has a woman, so don't put the picture in. Finish. Go weiter in life. Don't take the picture and Photoshop the woman out of the picture. Ah, Kesef Yanes Akol. That's another story. Okay? That's another story. Photoshopping is a very ugly thing, and it's naive. It's naive, and unfortunately, it's small minds do this. You have people who are running newspapers. You don't want to put women? I got it. But don't go put the meeting of Osama bin Laden when they're taking down Osama bin Laden, and they're sitting around, they're sitting in the Situation Room, and the whole world, and Spilkes. And to Photoshop Hillary out of that picture, that was very foolish, very naive. What were they thinking? What are you doing? You don't want to put a woman? I got it. But if you're going to put the picture, you got to put her in there. It's either one way or another. That's a very important insight. Now, Photoshopping is not necessarily so terrible in certain situations. And you want to enhance a picture, something that photographed that, you know, with their imperfections, and you want to enhance the imperfections, but to delete facts and features, that's sheker. Photoshop is delicious. I use it all the time, but only enhancements, not omission and deception of facts. That's not right. That's totally not right.
There are also Yeshua mixed elementary school, high school.
Listen, it all you can't generalize. Klal Yisrael is a big, big nation. Everyone has different opinions. You have to have respect. In some communities, women they're separate. Some communities not. It all depends.
And the Rosh Yeshua is also Rabbi. No problem.
It all depends. You can't generalize. You cannot generalize. Everyone is different. Don't get carried away. Don't get worked up over this. It's not worth it. Okay. Let's maybe do one more paragraph over here. Okay. He was running at night, and the moon was shining in the night. Running the desert. He was running at night, and he saw an army coming. And the wagons were being drawn by people. Instead of horses pulling the wagons were being pulled by people. V'toma, mehoyu oisim. What's going on over here? Okay, this is, you want to talk about bizarre things? You got it right here. Kishen iskoreif etzlam, hikar miktsasam shikvar mesu. Sounds like a horror movie, right? He came near, he saw some of the people on this wagon were dead. Omar lohem, mazeh shatem moshchem kol alaylo hagolos, umiktsaschem alogolos. And some of you are riding on the wagons, and some of you are pulling the wagons. Amruloi b'shvil avoinenu. This is because a punishment for our sins. Kishayinu chayim ba'isa olam. When we live in this world, hayu misachakim im nashim uvisulois. We would hang out with women. V'yatoa na'onu moishchim ho'agola a'ad shekoch onu ayefim v'geim. Therefore, our punishment is to come back into this world and to wear ourselves or pulling this wagon. Shlonuchal linoig yoiser until we're tired. Then we go down, we take those on the wagon down, and we rest. And then they pull us until they get tired. Until they get tired. We take turns. Some of us sit on the wagon and others pull until they get worn out and then they switch. I'm going to torture. The word me'ik means to torture you. Like the wagon, those who pull the wagon are tortured by pulling the wagon. Those who pull sin with ropes of vanity, the ropes of the wagon of sin. Then there are tzaddikim that whip the moilichim, like similar, you would whip a horse to move. Shnemar Nimshol, you are under the authority. Kavemos Nidmu, you are silenced and you are under the control of an authority like an animal. And the righteous rule upon them laboiker until the morning. He has to do in this rule like an animal. This is very practical. A person who abuses someone else with psychological fear. Okay, this is very practical. He comes back in this world as an animal and he's under the fear of a master. Even a person that tortures his animal, the day will come when he'll be the animal and someone will torture him. Now, obviously, do not go home and repeat what we just learned. But what it means over here, this is just L'shabres O'ezen. And he's teaching us over here something which is super bizarre about this person who saw in this world people suffering like animals. And he's saying it's midah k'neged midah. He's saying two yisoides. Number one is, a person that behaves like an animal will turn into an animal. Zinus, living with a woman that he is not supposed to be with is a maisa behema. A behema does not have the control to stop itself from coming upon a female animal. Just walk in the street in this neighborhood and listen to the dogs barking. And what do you see when the two dogs barking? You see sometimes competition, okay, competition between two dogs, and sometimes it's male and female. Okay, a male dog sees a female dog and it goes crazy, goes totally berserk. Why? It cannot control itself. So a person who sees a woman and is out of control and has to live with her and be with her, he's acting like an animal. What is the punishment? I don't know what this means, but it mean, he writes over here, this fellow came back into this world as an animal. You want to be an animal? Good, we'll make you into an animal. Number two, a person who terrorizes other people, who abuses, is involved in psychological abuse to manipulate and to instill fear, ema yisera, upon his friends, upon his family, then the punishment is he will be abused. The day will come he'll be abused, either as a person being abused, or he'll come into this world as an animal, because there is no creature in this world that's more abused than animals. How would you like to be a horse and someone take a whip and whip your back to have you gallop quickly? What kind of chutzpah is that? What are you whipping me? What did I do to you? I have to be whipped by a master, by another person. So he's saying over here, because this horse that's being whipped, everything is b'cheshbon. Once upon a time, this horse was a human being that psychologically abused another human being. That's not nice. So now get a taste of your own medicine. Now, is this very practical for us? No way, Jose. But it's our moral conscience.
That's
at least
what
that.
Mr. Forno says about eating blood. One of the reasons is he mentions about how he did in the blood.